During this first week in the season of Lent, it seemed like an appropriate time to consider the 27th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 21. The governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two of you do you want me to release to you?" They said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." This is the word of God. In the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who said, "He who confesses me before men, him will I confess before my Father who is in heaven." Dear friends in Christ, do you like Coke or are you a Pepsi person? I think I may be one of the few people around who really has no preference. I like both of them. I go to the store and buy whichever one happens to be on sale. When you think about it, a lot of questions in your life are questions like that one, aren't they? It doesn't really matter much which you choose. It's not going to change your life very much either way. Converse or Nike, Android or iOS. Other questions, though, are critical, and it matters a great deal how you answer them. And every once in a while, you come to a crossroads where how you answer a certain question will determine the entire course of your future life. The question we'll consider this morning is one of those. In the pleading, bewildered words of Pontius Pilate, we hear one of the most important questions of this Lenten season. Indeed, the most important question any of us will ever have to answer. What then shall I do with Jesus? How strange it all must have seemed to the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Each time he declared Jesus innocent, it only seemed to whip the crowd into a higher pitch of frenzy. Something about this man was beginning to gnaw at the governor's mind. Strangely enough, he found that he was becoming frightened. "Look at the man," he told the crowd. "I can't condemn him. He's done nothing wrong." The Jews replied, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." And when Pilate heard that saying, he was even more afraid. Pilate was being forced to answer a question that he found increasingly difficult. What am I going to do with Jesus? The answer of the mob was unequivocal. Let him be crucified. But what if Jesus really was as innocent as he seemed? What if, and the governor must have trembled a bit at this, what if he really is some sort of son of the gods? What then will be the consequences if I condemn him to death? To make matters worse, even Pilate's wife was turning up the heat on him. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, "Have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him." His fear and apprehension only grew. Pilate thought he'd better release Jesus, and he thought he had the perfect political maneuver to accomplish that. During the Passover festival, it was customary for the Roman governor to pardon and release one criminal. And usually it was whoever the people wanted to be released. But this time, Pilate changed the rules. He gave them a choice between two, either Jesus or a depraved murderer called Barabbas. A brilliant solution. Now, surely Pilate would be off the hook because not even the envious Jews could condemn Jesus if it meant releasing this depraved murderer, Barabbas, on the public. Imagine his shock when he put the choice to them. "Which of the two of you do you want me to release to you?" And they replied, "Barabbas." Utterly bewildered, Pilate asked the question. The question that has rung down through the centuries. The question he could no longer avoid. "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said to him, "Let him be crucified." What then shall I do with Jesus? It was a question the governor had to answer in the end. He was forced to. Oh yes, he made a big show of washing his hands in public and saying, "This is not my doing." Whatever. That changed nothing. He'd answered the question all right. In the end, he'd gone along with the crowd and given his consent and bore his responsibility for the death of God's Son. What then shall I do with Jesus? It's a question every human being has to answer, sooner or later, and washing your hands is not an option. "He who is not with me is against me," Jesus once said. "He who does not gather with me scatters." If you're unwilling to crucify Jesus in unbelief, then there's only one choice left. That's to confess him as your Lord and Savior. I saw that old bumper sticker again the other day. Smile, God loves you. We've seen and heard that phrase so often that it's become a meaningless cliche. And yet, it's true nonetheless, isn't it? In fact, there's a way in which you can accurately measure how much God loves you. And that's by looking at your Savior Jesus on the cross. There, in the throes of writhing agony, he bore the punishment for your sins. There, he ransomed you from eternal death, not because you were his friend, but despite the fact that you were by nature his bitter enemy. There, he endured hell so that you could sit here this morning and hear me tell you from his word and in his stead that your sins are gone, forgiven and forgotten, blotted out from God's book, cast into the depths of the sea. For he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Yes, you too are redeemed, restored, and forgiven. The kingdom of heaven belongs to you even now. There on that cross, you can see your Savior Jesus' love for you. Now, my Christian friends, you're going to have to answer that question. What then shall I do with Jesus? Pilate didn't know how to handle that question, but we do, don't we? With the faith God has given us, let us confess Christ boldly at every crossroads of our life. Because you know those crossroads are going to happen, possibly more frequently than you expected. When a friend or a relative or a coworker, somebody you know, asks you out of the blue, "Hey, what do you think happens after you die?" Then you have to answer that question. What then will I do with Jesus? Often, too, a temptation may bring you to a crossroads. When you're tempted to join others in abusing alcohol or drugs, ask the question, what then shall I do with Jesus? When you're about to disobey your parents or your dorm parents, when you're going to disrespect or defy your professors, your pastor, your coach, say the words, what then shall I do with Jesus? When you're tempted to watch a movie or visit a website that you know no Christian should watch or visit, whatever the temptation may be, whatever the crossroads at which you find yourself, take a moment and ask the question, what then shall I do with Jesus? Pray the Lord for faith. It only takes a second, and he'll answer your prayer. He'll help you. He'll make a way for you to escape. He'll give you the answer you need. I shall confess him as my Lord and Savior. A Christian man once prayed that God would make him into a road sign. Not a sign along the way that people could read or ignore as they chose. He prayed that his life would be a sign at the crossroads. That his life would be such a clear message of Christ that people who saw him would be forced to ask themselves, what then shall I do with Jesus? Let you and I be signs at the crossroads too.
On Calvary, Jesus demonstrated his great love for us sinners. God grant us the faith to confess him every day and in every way as our Lord and Savior. Amen. We conclude with hymn 550.